Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to discuss the key features of SECURE Act 2.0 that became effective January 1st of this year. You may recall the SECURE Act 2.0 was passed in late 22, and it got a lot of media buzz talking about the key features, including a couple of blog posts by me. Some features were effective in 23, and now there is another batch of features that are effective in 24, which I'll talk about. And then again, I'll briefly mention some of those that are going to be introduced in 2025 and beyond. You can also reference my blog post on this topic, which will include a couple of links to those previous blog posts I talked about from early 2023. And also then, as a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So referencing my blog post just published this morning, I am going to talk through some of these key features. Just as a brief summary of the key features that were effective for 2023, almost all of them, I think all of them, maybe one or two, you still may be able to control, but these are all have been in place for a year now, but those obviously continue to be in place. And so just as a brief reminder, I list five or six here of the key ones. There's many, many more. But so what already went into effect last year, beginning of January 23, was the required minimum distribution date was risen up to age 73. So for those people with traditional IRAs, you had to start taking money out. It used to be 70.5, and they raised it to 72. And so starting in January of 2023, it's now age 73. If you were taking them already before that, keep doing it, but for new people, age 73. Another thing that happened was for those people who missed taking their distributions, it used to be a very stiff 50% tax penalty for the amount you should have taken out that you didn't. That got reduced down to 25%. And then if you can prove that you took care of it on a timely basis, it got down to 10%. The third thing was qualified longevity annuity contracts, known as QLACs. There used to be caps on the amount you could do, no more than 25% of your IRA balance, and then a total cap of about $145,000. That got raised up to $200,000. So if you like QLACs, you got more room. Fourth thing here, employers that were making matching contributions, if the participant wanted it, they could direct those to a Roth portion. But again, the plan has to approve it. More than likely, most plans will not because those contributions are tax deductible for the employer. And so they have to verify the treatment of it in a Roth. And so, again, that's allowed, but your plan has to get updated to do that. Another thing that the law now allows or does allow in 2023 and beyond, but not many custodians are ready for it, and that is if a person has a simple IRA or a SEP IRA, traditionally you could only do that in a traditional format. You now have the ability to do that in a Roth format, but again, not many, if any, custodians are ready to offer those. And then finally, this one here, a sole proprietor. If you have a new plan, I don't know all the details of the rules, but basically you're allowed for 2023 forward only, so it's really this year's the first practical impact. You can make contributions now for the 2023 tax year yet, up to date. I think it's January 30th for sole proprietors. So now moving along to stuff that's effective first this year, 2024. I first want to mention there was one feature, those who were astute readers of the SECURE Act or my blog posts from a year ago, one of the features that was pretty surprising and concerning to people was, I'm about to describe it, but the good news is it got delayed. So this feature I'm about to describe was supposed to go into effect in 24, but it got delayed until 2026, I think basically to allow retirement plans and 401k plans to get ready for it. So if you recall, so this is still part of the law. It now is going to be effective in 2026, and that is for those people making more than $145,000 of wages, based upon the previous year from a given employer. So a lot of ifs, ands, and buts. But basically, if you're making more than $145,000 from the previous year at that employer, you're not allowed to contribute catch-up contributions. So that would be the extra $7,500 for those over 50, age 50 and older. Starting in 2026 now, you have to put those into a Roth option. You can't put those into the traditional. So the good news is it's not effective until 2026, so nothing to worry about. I just want to bring that up now since it's may have been on your mind, but it's not effective until later. So what are those key features, Kirk? It's 5 minutes in. Let's talk about those key features that the purpose of this blog post. So the first one, it's getting a lot of attention, and that is the ability to use your excess savings in from a 529 plan to contribute to a Roth IRA. So that's a general statement. That's going to get a lot of you very excited, but there's a lot of buts, and caveats. So, but the good news is that it is now effective. So 1/1/2024, this thing you heard about in the past, it's live. So let's talk about it. So the first thing to be aware of is there is still some uncertainty about the impact if you change the beneficiary of a 529. My personal view is that if you change the beneficiary, you can't do this. And so, but again, that's unclear. So this is just my view. But the rules, let me describe the two key rules and I'll get back to this. So the rule is the 529 plan has to be open for at least 15 years and you can't use contributions or earnings from the last 5 years. But if you satisfy those rules, and the beneficiary of that 529 has the same rules as they need for regular Roth IRAs, and that is they have to have taxable compensation. They're still subject to the same annual limits, which for this year under age 50 is $7,000 per year. They are allowed to use proceeds, this excess savings in a 529, and you know, take some money out of the 529, put it into the Roth IRA, and that would be you wouldn't incur the extra penalties at the federal level if you take that out for non-educational purposes. Sounds pretty exciting, right? So everyone's going to do this. Well, one strategy that people talk about is like, hey, it's been open for 15 years. It's been in my kid's name, but I'm going to use it for my own IRA or my spouse's IRA. So some people say, well, hey, let's just change the beneficiary and then contribute it to myself or my spouse. I don't think that's possible. Again, we need clarity on that yet, but that's the big uncertainty. However, if you had the plan open for 15 years and you had the same beneficiary, presumably your child on there, and you have excess cash in there that's not needed for college, which is a rarity because costs are quite high these days. But nonetheless, if you satisfy those things, you can use up to $35,000 in 529 to contribute over the years. And so you're still subject to $7,000 this year, you know, $7,000 next. So it might take you 4 or 5 years to deplete it if you want to utilize the full $35,000. But those are the rules. So again, I'd be careful switching the beneficiary and then moving it into that person's Roth, because I personally would not be comfortable doing that myself, but we have to wait for more clarity on that. The other thing to be aware of, and again, I'm spending a lot of time on this topic, but it's a hot one and people are talking about it. The other thing to be aware of is the SECURE Act is a federal law. So it's true, it is considered a qualified distribution, meaning you don't have to pay federal taxes on the investment gains and no non-qualified penalties for it. However, each state has their own 529 rules, and not all states follow the federal law. So what can happen is I'd highly recommend you check your state law. You may lose the state tax benefits for use of this feature. You may recall, sticking with this here, for example, Illinois. I'm an Illinois resident. Illinois does not allow this Roth payment to be a qualified distribution. You can still do it. You can still avoid the federal taxes and federal penalties. However, a person in Illinois would lose the Illinois state tax benefits and would have to pay taxes on the earnings at the state level, and you'd very likely lose that deduction if you claimed it going in as well. So just be aware of that. Check your state rules. It's still good, so you may lose the state benefits. You'll still get some good benefits at the federal level, but just be aware of it. So that's a lot of time on that one, but it's a hot topic, and it's effective now, so it's game time. Another feature that is effective now is, I mentioned earlier, the Secure Act changed the RMD age. It's now age 73. Well, one thing that I also said that it applies for, so individual retirement accounts of the Roth variety that you own, you never have to take RMDs out. Now you do if it's a beneficiary IRA. So if you inherited a Roth from somebody, there you absolutely do have to take RMDs. That's another topic. But up until January of this year, if you had a Roth 401k, you did have to take RMDs from that. They never got around to changing the rules. And so Secure Act takes care of it. If you have a Roth 401k now, the good news is you're off the hook for RMDs, just like you always were off the hook if you had an individual Roth IRA. Third feature effective, IRA catch-up contributions will now be indexed to inflation. So this is for old farts like me. When you're 50 and older, you get to contribute an extra $1,000 to individual IRAs. And an extra $7,500 to 401ks, 403bs. But for individual IRAs, those have been flat. It's been $1,000 for a long time. So those are now indexed to inflation up to $100 increments. And so the bad news is for 2024, it's still $1,000. It wasn't big enough to get us over that hump. But the good news is the meter's now running. So maybe one more year, two more years, but we'll start to be able to contribute a bit more than $1,000 into individual IRAs. Another change, very similar related to that, so inflation indexed, and this relates to qualified charitable distributions, so QCDs. For those age 70 and a half, again, not 73, they like to make things complicated, so 73 is the RMD age, 70 and a half is still the QCD age, they didn't change that. If you're over age 70 and a half, and you have to be that age or older, so don't do it the year of your birthday, but wait till you're that 70 and a half, you can make a charitable donation from your IRA. And if you are in RMD ages, it does count toward RMD. But the good news is it's not taxed. Now, you may be thinking, well, Kirk, it doesn't matter. I'm going to itemize my deductions. It's a charitable contribution. I can itemize it, right? The answer is yes, you can. However, the standard deduction is quite high these days, and so you may find that you're not itemizing, so you may not have been getting the benefit anyway, so this is a way to do it. And two, if you're subject to IRMA extra Medicare premiums, doing it this way gets it out of that machinery, but it does not if you itemize. So back to the focus of this discussion here, QCD and Secure Act, what changed? What changed is the most you could do per year was $100,000, now, which is a very high amount, so it probably doesn't apply to too many people. But for those who were overly charitable, you were always capped at $100,000. That is now also subject to inflation adjustments. And so the number for 2024 is $105,000 for QCD. The fifth feature, the next feature, I think I'm on number five, is the surviving spouse can choose your decedent's age for RMDs. So what does this mean? So husband and wife, they're the only, I think they're the only, there might be a few other exceptions, but in general, the only exception is if a married couple, one of the spouses dies, their surviving spouse can take over their IRA as if it was their own, and they don't have to worry about any other goofy rules. It's just, it's now theirs, and they follow the rules that they always followed on their own IRAs. New rule this year, the surviving spouse can choose the decedent's age if they want to for RMDs. So the reason you would do that is if the surviving spouse is older and they either wanted to delay the RMD or use the higher factors, i.e. lower RMD amount required for their spouse who passed away, you are allowed to use that now, whereas before you could have to just only use your own. So something that may apply for some people, Probably have to have a, you know, somewhat more than a couple of year age difference to make it worthwhile, but be aware of it. Next feature, Roth 401k emergency fund. So this is, again, gets into that camp of if your 401k plan changed the rules and allow it. So federal law allows you to offer it, but you got to go through and change your plan documents. But if you did, the feature is you can create what's called a Roth 401k emergency fund. The details of how the plan will administer it, how the distributions will be handled, that's beyond the scope of this podcast. But in general, this year, you're now able to contribute up to $2,500 into a 401k emergency fund that you can get out whenever you want, for whatever reason, up to that amount. Just the intent is to allow people to have a source of emergency funds and also contribute to, you know, take advantage of the 401k features. There are limits. You can't do it if you're highly compensated. There's different rules on that, which I won't get into, but nonetheless, if your employer changed their 401k plan, you may be able to use this feature. Another feature, those individuals with a simple IRA, just very briefly this year, if those who have simple IRAs, the most you can contribute is $16,000 for 2024. And then again, if you're over age 50, you can do an extra $3,500. So $19,500 if you're 50 and older. And then your employer could do a bit more, either 2 or 3% depending upon the plan. So what's the change? The change is, and again, this only applies for 2024. So those still contributing for the 2023 tax year, this does not apply to you. But for this new year, in addition to those numbers I just gave you, you can contribute up to an additional amount, the lesser of either $5,000 or 10% of your compensation. So that is for the employer. So I'm reading this, I'm thinking, is there an age limit here? So this is the additional employer contribution. So that 2 or 3% in the past, they can continue to do that. And then if the employer wants to, they can contribute an additional up to the $5,000 or 10% of a person's compensation. And then another employer, another feature, so next, last feature, the employer can match a participant's student loan payments and treat it as if it were a salary deferral. So again, the details of it I don't have here beyond the scope of this podcast, but it's a feature that's, again, if your plan changes the documents and allows for it, or if you want to raise the issue with your employer, you are able to take the company match, basically, to help out with student loan payments, but the employer gets to treat it as if as if it was a company match in your 401k plan. So that is those are the quick summary. Again, there's more, but those are the key features that may interest you for 2024. So be aware of them. Just as a quick tease for 2025 and later, I'll just rattle them off quickly. So starting in 2033, RMD age goes up to age 75. Starting in 25, if you're between the ages of 60 and 63, I don't know why they strange age range, but grab those 3 years, you're able to put in more money into 401ks and simples beyond what I described above on the simple. Third thing, starting in end of 2025, you can take out some IRA withdrawals for long-term care premiums up to limits. Another thing, fourth thing, ABLE accounts. They currently, you have to be disabled before the age 26 in order to utilize the ABLE features. Starting in 2026, that age goes up to age 46 now. So it makes it more accessible for later onset disability. ETFs, starting in the end of 2029, ETFs will be allowed to be used in variable life and variable annuity products. So looks like an insurance industry lobbying effort there. And then finally, starting in 2025, looks like a person can opt out of these pretty aggressive auto increase. You know, they're going to start increasing it by 1% a year until you hit up to a pretty high, like 10% savings rate. There's some exemptions which you can get into later. So a lot of features here. Again, Secure Act is intended to not just make life difficult and miserable to keep track of all the rules, but it isn't allowed to make savings for retirement easier and have more features to it. So definitely a lot of good features here to be aware of. Take advantage of those if they fit your circumstances, because it does, again, allow you to build a more secure retirement for you and your loved ones. Please reach out for help if it sounds kind of confusing or not sure how it's going to fit into your overall financial picture. Again, I threw out a bunch of features, but think about how it fits in your overall financial picture and form a strategy. If it seems overwhelming, just reach out and ask for help. Middle of January here. I'm recording this on January 24th. So for the football fans out there, hopefully you're enjoying the remaining few games that we have at the pro level. And for those with school-age children, I hope they are learning in a physical schoolroom setting, unless the weather is really, really bad. And on that note, I'll end it, and that's a wrap on today's topic. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.